Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. On days that I'm weak, it's hard to believe, still I know He'll see me through. Give me the power to conquer the hour in everything I do. Lift up my voice and I sing songs of joy to the God who reigns on high. Give me new courage, won't let anything hurt me as I sing to Him my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Song, and He has become my Lord. So with joy I will shout as I rise in the clouds on the day my Lord returns. I'll sit at His table and drink of salvation and praise His holy name. Dance around heaven with Moses and Aaron and proclaim what God has done. So be gone all your troubles and all of your devils, 'cause Jesus, He's my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm your host, Pastor Dan. Today is the 17th day of September, year 2017, and we've entitled today's program, Post-Irma Report. Our guests today will be Michael from France and Dee from Australia, and I'll bring them on here in just a minute. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. For today's talk, we will not have the free conference call set up. However, we will monitor the chat room at eurofolkradio.com. So if you have a comment or question, please use that format to get it to either myself or our guests. Let's see here. Also want to remind you that the main website for information and to contact me is www.pastordan.net. And now that Hurricane Irma is pretty much out of the picture and things are just starting to come back to normal, hopefully I'll have that website updated on a more frequent basis. So without further delay, let's introduce our guests again. This is Michael from France and Dee from Australia. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
All right. Excellent. So as we were just talking about the storm, you know, many of my friends here that went through this storm are pretty much convinced it was never anything even close to a Category 5 or 6, that at worst it was a tropical storm, and it was hyped up for various agendas by the mainstream media, which we know they can do. It also gave an opportunity to feed a lot of information into their artificial intelligence computers to figure out just what will trigger people to do what they do. So we'll find out. Truth is being revealed all over. And as Bill Holter says on the X-22 report and SGT report, 2017 would be the year of the truth bomb. And I think it is turning out to be that very thing. And I'll start with you, Michael, if you agree or not. Is this the year of the truth bomb?
Well, it certainly seems like it.
Absolutely. How about you, Dee?
Well, yes, I think according to scripture, it's going to be going that way, and it seems with what's on the horizon, it's certainly working out to be so. So I think a lot of things are starting to come to the surface that I'm sure the opposition hadn't intended to, but it's doing it anyway. So I can only put that down to Yahweh having a hand in it.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to let the folks know, too, here, that even in the midst of what seems to be perilous times, chaos, disaster, as was the case here in Florida, especially South Florida, just from my point of view, myself and those around me that I am cover for, it was like we had a hedge of protection around us during this storm. Very little damage to any of the buildings. Recovery is going extremely well. And let me just give two quick examples. I took a utility trailer back to the rental agency, and I thought I was going to get charged for 12 days because the hurricane delayed my returning it. And the gentleman there, maybe he saw my veteran's hat or just took pity on me, I'm not sure. But Yahweh led him to say, I'm only going to charge you for 7 days, which was a tremendous help. The bill would have been almost twice that. And then I get back to the community, and there's a tree down across the driveway, and two other palm trees are broken off and laying on the roof. So I'm sitting there scratching my head, thinking about how am I going to get this all cleared up. I'm going to have to go buy a chainsaw and gas and oil, and it's going to take at least a day's work, maybe 2 days. And within just a couple minutes of me standing out there, a young man pulls up in a pickup truck representing some tree company or development company. And he said, is this your place? I said, yeah. And he said, we'll be back in a little bit. We're going to take care of those trees for you. And I said, what? And he said, yep, we're going to cut that tree out of there, and we're going to haul it all away. And before the crew was done, they not only chopped up the trees, but they cleared a lot of the brush and other things away that saved me a whole lot of trouble. So here again, as we've said on this show many times, Yahweh's people are treated quite different in this world than the rest of the people. And that's why I don't understand why the average person resists being obedient to our Father, why they have to constantly be an adversary to what's right and what's just in this world. I just, it's unbelievable to me. How do you guys see it?
Well, I think it's, goes back to the scripture, doesn't it, where we had Yahweh put his spirit in our hearts, so recognize truth and the right things to do that other races haven't been given. So it's quite interesting when you look at a lot of these, when there's been calamities all around the world from cyclones or whatever, it's always the Israelites or Yahweh's people that are first in to give a helping hand. You don't see many of the other races sort of giving up their time and effort to go help people in other nations that are going through a time of stress. And it's always, I mean, I look at things the way we have created cities and countries, and when we are left to ourselves, we get along really well and we do look after each other and help our neighbours out. But that doesn't seem to be the same amongst other races. So, over to you.
Yeah, Michael? Did we...
I'm not prepared yet.
Does that mean connection-wise or material-wise?
I'm getting my material organized here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I left it all in the motorhome. I had to run and get it.
Well, you get a demerit for the day then, lad.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well, we are the children of laughter, even in the midst of things being somewhat chaotic. We can still laugh at ourselves, can't we?
Oh, yes.
Well, he did give us a sense of humor.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because in the middle of the hurricane, the folks I was sharing the house that was built like a bunker, we played dominoes, we watched weather reports, and we chatted about all kinds of things and had some laughs. Actually, we're quite amazed at how well the community, in particular this house, was protected in the heat of the storm as the eye was passing over. In fact, we even went outside in the middle of the eye just to kind of scout the area and see that not a whole lot had been done, not a whole lot of water, not a whole lot of wind damage. Nothing that you wouldn't expect in a typical tropical storm. That's what I equate it to. Certainly not a Category 4 or 5 hurricane. So, yeah, it is a trait of our people. We can find humor in almost anything. Good laugh takes off a lot of stress, also helps with the focusing back on what matters. So it's, yeah, it's one of our traits. Just like a lady told me at a camp one time, Israelites are the loving, caring, sharing people on this earth. And I believe it to be true. How about you, Dee?
Well, that's what I was actually trying to say just a minute ago, that we always seem to be the first in to help. And when we are left to our own people, we do exactly that. You know, we help our neighbours, we look after each other, and everything seems to run pretty smoothly. But when you start intermixing other races and other lifestyles, things seem to run amok, which is deliberate anyway.
Exactly. That's why they're doing it. Diversity is a way to divide and conquer. It certainly doesn't make you stronger. I've told a lot of my liberal associates over the years, we get into these arguments, and I would always challenge them, show me one time in all of history where a multicultural empire or nation survived. Where did their multiculturalism actually aid them or make them stronger? And of course, the answer to that is never. But, you know, it's the old saying is the truth stands on its own. It takes the force of government to promote a lie. And that's what we have going on in almost every white nation on earth today. At least that's how I see it, Dee.
Yes, and I mean, to anyone who sort of understands what's behind it, it's very obvious that it's there to divide and conquer and and weakness. And but you know, the thing is, those of us that are strong in our faith and understand that don't have to be afraid of it. We just have to find a way of standing fast to the end, as Christ told us, Yeshua, that keep my commandments and stand fast to the end, no matter what. And it's all a part of testing us of his worthiness anyway. So I think we kind of have to look at it as a blessing in some ways that we have been given the task of being tested, because Yahweh doesn't test the people he doesn't care for.
Exactly. He chastens those he loves, doesn't he?
Yeah, the story of the potter's wheel.
Exactly.
It puts you through the refining of silver, putting you through, you know, the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we're meant to be here to have it easy. We're meant to be here to learn and to pass our exams that we manage to get to the better place with him.
Amen to that. Now, you mentioned the end, near the end. Let me just ask, in your opinion anyway, just how close to the end of the age do you feel that we are?
We're already in it. I really think we're in it. We're just progressing. You were asking me that question, were you?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think we've already stepped into it. We've just, it's like the stage is set. We're just waiting for the fat lady to sing now.
Well, I agree. I believe the great tribulation against Jacob has been going on for quite some time. I mean, look at how many hundreds of millions of white Christian men, women, and children have been literally butchered in this world system. The beast system, which is, of course, governments. They are the greatest mass murderers ever to exist, is government. They're certainly not here for our benefit. So that's been going on for quite some time, but the Great Awakening is happening now. The truth bombs are going off everywhere, exposing these people, and these are all indicative of the end of the age and the coming of Messiah. And I think we're going to talk here shortly about some phenomenon that's been predicted to happen. Maybe this would be a good time for you to give us some of your information on that that our true believing brothers and sisters need to be on their guard about and not be fooled by it.
Yes, although I think to get into that particular subject requires a bit of depth, and maybe there's not the right time to sort of start something that can't be sort of fully explored. One thing is that there is said to be, which is referred to in Revelations as well, about a constellation of that happened. The only other time this particular constellation happened was at the birth of Christ. It's about the sign of Virgo giving birth to basically a monster. Now, the only thing that fits into that, you know, explains this a little bit more in depth needs to have a fair bit of study into it. But there is apparently on the 23rd of this month, there is supposed to be another eclipse, but this is not by anything that's in our, that is normally in our solar system. And it's not like the last one we just recently had, what it just lasted a couple of minutes. This one's supposed to again be seen over the United States, and it will last over an hour. So that means there has to be something very big between Earth and the Sun to be able to do that. I haven't been able to yet find out what its actual path is, so I'm not sure how much of the US will get to see it, but it'll be more so than the last eclipse this month, or last month. But because, as we know, they keep a lot of things they don't want us to know very quiet, and you don't get to see much about any of this sort of thing in the press. So I'm looking for people that can report on the 23rd of this month, that can tell us, you know, is this eclipse actually going to happen wherever they are, so we can sort of get an idea where it has hit and how long it lasts for. Because there is a study done about this constellation, which is, if this is absolutely correct, that means that we haven't much time left because this planet that is supposed to be causing the eclipse, at some stage within around about a month later, as it comes closer to the planet of Earth, is going to cause a lot of magnetic pull, which is going to disrupt, you know, it's already having that effect on other planets in the solar system and ours, because that's why we're seeing an incredible increase in things like earthquakes and volcanic eruptions and tsunamis and so on and so forth. And that will all get so much, it'll be more frequent and more severe, and resulting in a pole shift. And that's already been documented, that the planet is already tilting in that direction. And the closer this thing gets, the more the tilt will happen. If this is all correct, and of course we're not getting anything anymore out of NASA, they've just gotten quiet on it, although Russia and China have been actively doing things to assist their the populations. And Putin has already said to Trump that he has to go public on this. So, but the powers that be are controlling what Trump says now. So, you know, we may not get Trump exposing it the way it should be. But it's all validated, as one scientist, a whistleblower, has said, that if this was to be proved in a court of law, it would win hands down with the evidence that they have about the existence of this thing. And it's been watched by governments for the last 40 to 50 years. They've built massive deep underground military bases to protect the elite. But the rest of us won't be told about it until it's too late. So it's very important that we find out, you know, more about this. And if this eclipse on the 23rd of September will be, you know, pretty much final evidence of what's to follow. So I'd like as many people as possible, since they're not telling us anything about this eclipse and what information is coming out in the controlled news is all mixed up with a bunch of lies and dates are wrong and the typical thing they do to put you off from getting to find out what the actual truth is. So, of course, when they give false dates and false information, when it doesn't happen on those dates, everyone goes back to sleep and say, knew it was all rubbish, so that when the final thing comes, they won't recognise it for what it is until it's far too late, and, you know, they get caught right up in the whole manipulation of the truth. So, and of course, it's, as we know, it's on the Georgia Guidestones. They've wanted to get rid of 90% of the world's population, and this thing will do that if people are not aware of it. So that's a very brief rundown of it. But basically, if I can get people to watch out on the 23rd of September, that would be really good. And you only have to go on the internet and research this. But, you know, I warn you, be careful of some of the stuff, the information there, because there's a lot of information that's designed to mislead you as well.
Yeah, Dee, I was going to ask, do you have any contact information that you would be willing to give out to the folks so they can stay in touch with you and let you know?
Yes, I can give you an email address if you wish to. I don't have a website, but I've spent a couple of decades researching this, perhaps if they contact you, you could give it to them, and my email address.
Oh, certainly, certainly. Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. If folks have any information on the 23rd to pass on, or if you have anything else you want to pass on to Dee, send it to BYD, which stands for By Yahweh's Design, bydpastordan@yahoo.com, and I will forward it to Dee, so we can do it that way. Michael, do you have your stuff together yet?
Oh, yes. I'm getting my scriptures organized.
All right. Dee.
He'll have it to you by next week.
Okay. So, we got the contact portion down, and you don't personally have a website, but do you have a website that does exist that you would recommend to people who want some truth?
If people are interested to know more, if they get in touch with you, you pass on my email address, and I will be able to, or if you just forward their emails on to me, and I'll answer their questions. And, there are several websites that, you know, I recommend, as opposed to those that are telling a lot of gobbledygook. But there's plenty of information that can be got. That is, you know, Google hasn't taken those sites off the internet yet. Like they have so many others just recently. But there's a ton of information on this, and it's just up to people who want to go find it. It's all there to be found. Except the path that this thing is supposed to take over the U.S., I haven't yet been able to find that information. I'm sure it's there. It takes time to go through all this stuff, though, to get it.
Yeah, Dee, I wanted to ask you, do you know what NASA stands for?
Yeah.
Never
a straight answer.
Right. Never a straight answer. That's perfect. And you also, I don't know if you're aware that NASA in the ancient Hebrew tongue means a liar or a deceiver, much like Nakash, which is interpreted as the serpent, stands for an evil or crafty enchanter, a wicked person, evil person. It wasn't a snake in the garden; it was an evil man, two legs, two arms. So NASA is a way to say a liar or a deceiver. Which is also interesting that the word planet comes from the Greek word plantes, which is also indicative of falsehood or lies, especially in light of leading you away from the truth of God's word. That's right out of the Greek lexicon. So I find it interesting in this day and age that we use NASA for the one, and then we use the term planet, which tells us that they're lying to us about almost everything. My own personal belief, Dee, is that we have a firmament over us, and my own conviction is that we've never been beyond the firmament. Everything is a lie, an illusion. They can create different holographs. They can create things just like they did with this hurricane. They can hype it up to where they get everybody into a panic and get them to act like cattle scurrying to run, when really all it is basically a tropical storm, and not even near as large as they said it was. So, you know, everything today is a lie. It's just amazing to me how much it's a lie. And there will be things that we see in the heavens above us. There's no doubt about that. So the things you're talking about, our people do need to be aware of it. Because some of it will be man-made, evil government-made, but there's also going to be things in the heavens that our Father is going to put there. Just like he said, the lights in the firmament are there for our direction to help us determine seasons and to be able to navigate around on the earth. So this all fits into Scripture. It all fits into his plan. We just need people to be aware that there are false prophets, false teachers, and false signs. And he said, don't fall for those things, because the legitimate signs, such as his second coming, will be as lightning flashing from the east to the west, or west to the east, I can't remember. But the point of it is that there is no debate about a bolt of lightning going across the sky. So his coming, there'll be no debate, there'll be no question, there'll be no uncertainty. And we need to be aware of that. So, Again, folks, if you want to contact Dee, ask her a question, or need more information, just send me that email, and I'll put you in touch with her. Did you have anything on this issue, Michael?
Well, just Psalms 120, verse 2. Yahweh, please deliver me from liars. And it's gotten to the point nowadays where everywhere you go, it's nothing but lies and lies and lies. It's actually come down to where I have to carry a paper and pencil with me, or pen, wherever I go. And when people tell you things, you have to get them to say, well, put it in writing and sign your name.
Right on, right on. You know, I was talking to Dee earlier about the eclipse that just happened here recently. I'm not an expert on eclipses, but it's kind of funny. It didn't even get dark where I was at. The intensity of the sun went down slightly, but as far as darkness or disappearance of the sun, it didn't happen. Not here. And I know other believers in other states reported back to me something very similar. So I'm not sure what the heck that was all about. But
were you on its path?
Well, we're not far. We weren't far from the path. I mean, there should have been some lessening of the light. I mean, the entire United States was to get at least some portion of it, and that's what I was confused about, because it didn't darken at all. I mean, not even a slight bit. So I'm just, I'm not saying that it's a conspiracy or any of that, but it just seemed odd to me that I think we were supposed to be like an 80% in this area. It was supposed to be 80%. But here again, I've got one of the ladies that listens to the show took video and different pictures and said that it was a non-event. So, it's just really weird how some people saw the eclipse, but other people didn't. So I'm not sure what the heck's going on. It's just, I find it weird, that's all.
Well, wasn't there two eclipses before the birth of Yeshua?
I don't...
You mean leading up to it? Like several months beforehand or something of that nature?
Yes, sometime before his birth. I think there was two eclipses.
That's interesting. I had not heard that, but it would be interesting to see that. You know, that's something I was going to ask you guys. Does it seem, we know he wasn't born in December. That's a lie. He was born in, December. He was not born in December. He was born in September, Feast of Tabernacles, which is coming up, by the way. So,
which is under the sign of Virgo, which is this constellation that's in the sky now. And as they've said, this constellation has the only ever time it's ever been present in this formation is at the birth of Christ. So it's kind of interesting that it's forming, sort of beginning the end times too.
Yeah, exactly my point. Yeah, it's like they're trying to create a false event to overshadow the true event that we should all be looking for, which is, of course, his coming. Very interesting times that we live in. Amazing to me. Technology has allowed many of the prophecies to come to pass that 10, 15, 20 years ago, we would never have dreamed that we could do what we're doing today. And even this afternoon, I was commenting that isn't it amazing that Michael is sitting in France, you're sitting in Australia, 12-hour difference, by the way, so we thank you for staying up so late to join us. And here I am in South Florida just after a hurricane or a bad storm went through, and yet we're able to sit here and chat and share it with everybody on earth that cares to hear it. So Yahweh has definitely opened some doors that were just completely unimaginable two decades ago, and allowing us to get his truth out there and to chat with one another and share our information and network with each other to determine things line upon line, precept upon precept. Because as far as I'm concerned, no one of us has all the answers. And Yahweh did that intentionally. He wants us to work together as a team and as a family. And that's what upsets me, that sometimes we have our team members cop attitudes when somebody has an opposing opinion or an opposing point of view. From what I have read and studied and ascertained from a prayer with Father, that's not how an Israelite behaves. And I don't really care what the subject matter is. We are to behave as a family. We're to work together as a team. We're always going to have disagreements, and we better learn how to handle those. You know, it's like they said, the test of a marriage, the test of a friendship or any relationship isn't during the good times, because then it's easy. It's how do you handle the disagreements? How do you handle the arguments? How do you handle the bumps in the road that determines the strength of your relationship? And that includes the relationship we have with each other as brothers and sisters in Yahweh's family. So, sorry I got off on a tangent on that, but it's a pet peeve of mine when our family misbehaves. Because personally, I think Yahweh's children are the cream of the crop. We were put here to lead not just our people, but to be an example, a shining light on the hill for everybody here. So, and for everything that is here, we were to tend the garden, and we should just stay focused on that mission.
Yes, well, as a lot of, I think with one thing is that, which I've come to realize too, that a lot of people, like when they have pet peeves, it's because they're still spiritually growing and haven't attained, you know, higher levels of knowledge that others might have. So they get kind of stuck in that rut until they're able to, you know, to progress to a more knowledgeable level. And I see that having worked in my own life, and Mike and I have actually talked about that, how we've seen our growth change over the years as, you know, you get to a certain level and you think, there's got to be more to this. And there's a lot of questions I can't get answered at this level. And all of a sudden you're shot into another position where things become clear and some of those questions start to become answered. And then you kind of do that over the years to get to a level. And then you look at people, like especially Sunday keeping people, and it's like as if you're talking from another language to them, because they just don't have the same understanding. Yet I see that I was once one of them. You know what I mean? So a lot of people that don't understand, I think, are simply still on the milk. They're not getting to the meat yet.
Amen to that. How about you, Michael?
Yes. What she just discussed, was what I was suffering from when I first met you, because I had just come out of the COG churches, and I was a bit stubborn, and you helped me get through that period and made me realize that I had to do more study and more prayer. And I must say, I told Dee about it. I said, you were right. I was stubborn, and I thought the Sabbath was on a Saturday because I'd just come out of the COG, but I had to change my ways and pray and do more research. And so I owe a lot to you, how you directed me and guided me.
Well, thank you. I remember those days.
Well, that's good feedback.
It's, exactly. And again, and I'm telling this to people, and we're bringing this up not to condemn. It's never to condemn. We're simply sharing experiences and things that we've learned together. And I do that so that people can benefit from learning by others' hardships and things they've been through. I tell the story of a young Baptist minister, a lay preacher that I worked with many years ago in New Jersey. he was very, very close to being ordained as a full-time pastor in the Baptist church. And he and I worked together, and he saw the Tetragrammaton, which is Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh in the Hebrew, on my desk. I had it pinned up on the wall in front of my desk. So he came back, and one day he was walking by, and he said, "Oh, I know what that is." And I just looked at him, and I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, you're one of the few." And that's when he explained that he was from Georgia, and he was nearly ordained. And so we got talking a little bit about Scripture, and I laid a little bit of identity on him, and he immediately blew up. And so we had some heated words. Usually these conversations would only go about 10 to 15 minutes, and we would walk away from each other pretty heated. Well, I never gave up on Bob. He kept coming back, and that was my sign that if he keeps coming back, then I'm going to work with him. And so it took 9 months. 9 months we went through this routine where he would occasionally walk by, start a conversation. I would tell him about identity and the identity version of Scripture, and he'd walk away in a huff, and then we wouldn't talk to each other for a few days, and this just went over and over and over. And then about 9 months into this, he comes walking back to my desk, and he starts preaching to me the identity message. I swear to God, I swear on a Bible. And I just looked at him, and I said, "Bob, do you hear yourself talk?" And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You are preaching to me exactly what I've been telling you for the last 9 months." And he got this look on his face, and then he said, "You know what? You're right." It was like he didn't even realize that. I don't know if the Holy Spirit did it or what, but something happened at that approximately 9 month period where he snapped out of it, and he's been an identity. He left the Baptist church, especially when the head pastor told him that he had no right to have a weapon, and a true Christian should never be violent no matter what. And so, being a good Georgia boy, he said, "Well, I was raised with weapons, and I was raised that if somebody harms my family or me, I have a right to defend myself." And so he dropped them, and as far as I know, to this day, he's still preaching this truth. So, you know, we're supposed to be patient.
He totes a gun.
What's that?
He totes a gun.
Oh, absolutely.
He carries a gun with him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So did he do some research of his own about CI? Did he? Or you don't know that?
As far as I know, he had never done that until he met me, and what research he did during that nine-month period, he never discussed with me. All I knew is that we'd get into a certain subject, and like I said, we'd end up arguing. And then all of a sudden, it's like a light bulb went off, and he understood the identity message. He understood who the Jews are. He understood who the true Israelites are. Actually I give credit to Bob because he is the one who sent me the 1995 UN development report that exposes much of what Agenda 21 and these other New World Order agendas were spelled out in this color pamphlet put out by the United Nations back in 1995. And it was Bob who saw this and paid for a separate copy and mailed it to me. And I used it in many, many speeches after that. And I showed it to many, even Judeo-Christians. I would put a highlighter in it, and I'd put little flags on the pages where they exposed this satanic organization and what they were going to do about the Second Amendment and about Christians. And what they were going to do to maintain this key word. Anytime you hear sustained development, that's where it came from. 1995, the United Nations, which we know is satanic, it started clear back then. And you hear that word, sustained development, ever since that 1995 period. And anytime you hear that, that's a key word. That it's all part of this New World Order agenda, It has nothing to do with people, their safety, their health, or any of it. It's all part of this agenda. And you mentioned the Georgia Guidestones. Again, more evidence that this is not a conspiracy theory. And as you said, Michael, we're not conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy analysts. And I love that. That's perfect.
Well, I caught something the other day. Well, you're familiar with the statues that are being removed, the southern ones?
Yeah, any monuments, any statues or monuments that remind white people of our heritage, our race, and our faith in Christ are being removed. They're either being demolished or they're being hidden away, but they're being taken down. It's in our faces. I'm surprised there hasn't been a violent uprising yet about that. I thought there was more gumption in the South. I've always prayed that the South would rise again. The rebel states of the South, where Christianity was very powerful in the Old South, and that's one reason the North couldn't stand them. They couldn't stand the strong Christian families of the South. They couldn't stand the independent attitude and the industry of the South, to where they did not want to buy products made in the Northern factories and borrow money from Northern banks. They knew they were corrupt, and they knew it was against God's law. He expects us to be independent, be able to think for ourselves and fend for ourselves and make for ourselves, not run off to a store or to a factory or to some damn banker every day to get things done. We should work together and learn how to do barter. We should learn how to have public banks instead of these private central banks. The Founding Fathers supported all of these things, and the South retained that, and the North couldn't stand it. The North had already sold their soul to the devil, which is, of course, Jews and Satan's kids. The bankers and the industrialists of the North, they'd already sold their soul to them, and they believed the lies that were being told about the South, and that's why it's called the War of Northern Aggression, because that's really what it was. It had nothing to do with slavery, and those truths are coming out now. I mean, even Abraham Lincoln never advocated freeing the slaves. He never advocated that even if they were freed at some point, that they should live with white people. He said that they are so far apart in their culture, their habits, likes and dislikes, etc., that they would never live in harmony together. Well, the scripture backs that up. Israelites are to be separate people. It doesn't mean that we hate people. It doesn't mean that we want to see harm done to other people. It just simply means that we are to be segregated or holy. That's what the word holy means. We were to be the holy seed or separated seed from the rest of mankind, because that's our strength. And when we work together as a team and a family, there's nothing we can't accomplish. And once we accomplish things, then the benefits from those accomplishments fall off the table, as it says in Matthew. And the lady said, aren't the dogs, which is a biblical expression for the non-white people, aren't the dogs worthy of the crumbs from their master's table? Well, that's what that's referring to. As we build civilization, the crumbs fall off of that. And just like South Africa, when the white Boer farmers went down there, they took a wasteland and turned it into a paradise. Well, I've spoken to people that live in South Africa. The blacks there, the original blacks, appreciated the white rulers of South Africa because they benefited from it. They had clean houses. They had education. They had hospitalization. All the benefits of civilization were theirs because the white people were there. They did not want to rule that area. That was Nelson Mandela, the murderer, the communist, and his murdering communist wife, with Jewish money in their pockets that came into South Africa, that stirred up everybody into, just like they did in Russia with communist money from the Jew banks of New York. It's the same MO over and over and over.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just want to add to that, you know, with the statues coming in, I had caught this reporter reporting something, and I wasn't prepared to validate it or research it. It happened so fast. But he also mentioned, along with the statues, he mentioned stained glass windows in churches. Have you heard anything about this?
Yes, yes, I've read reports that, again, it's the assault not only on the white race, but on Christianity. They want to remove all vestiges of true Christianity. They want it gone. This is the communist takeover of the United States of America, no doubt about it.
Right, well, just the other day I was thinking, you know, with all these things that's taking place, what's next on the list? And I heard this article. And they mentioned stained glass windows, and I said, oh, my goodness, I never even thought about that. But, yeah, we go to Exodus 11:7. No dog shall move his tongue against the Israelites. And 33:16, my people and I, this is Yah's people, and I mean my people and myself, Yahweh, we are different. And 34, 10 through 16, no compromise with other races. Yeah, backs up what you said.
Yeah, amen. And here again, you know, when the founding fathers said all men are created equal, I love it when these anti-Christ communists bring that up. And they try to tell us that, see, the founding fathers believed that blacks, browns, yellows, Jews, all are equal to us and all that. And it's absolute, utter nonsense. First of all, everybody in America understood that when they said all men, they meant men of the white race, because that's who formed this country. That was so obvious, they didn't think they needed to add an addendum specifying the definition of that word. Everybody understood that at that time. So, even in the Greek language, but specifically in the Hebrew languages, there are several words that we interpret man, and they all mean different things. Some mean white men. Some mean men of other races. Some mean just a male. Could be a donkey male, male donkey, or a male horse, or a male jackass, whatever. The point of it is, the English words don't always do justice to the original language. And the word man is one of those. And it just shows you the lying tongue of the serpent. In this case, when they say all men are created equal, no, they're not. Anybody with a brain in their head that still functions can tell you not all men are the same. Not all races are the same. Some have strengths in one area but are weak in others. They're not the same, and there's nothing wrong with that. We used to actually take a sort of a pride or, how do you want to say this? It was pointed out in school that the diversity was a thing to be remarked and admired. The fact that we're not all cookie cutter together, that you could travel and meet other cultures and notice the difference in customs, languages, dress, architecture, schools, etc. It wasn't a bad thing. It's the Jew and his propaganda that has got people believing that we all should be exactly the same. And that's ridiculous. Who wants to go out into a garden and see nothing but daisies? Who wants to go into a world and see nothing but tan people at the same IQ level of about 70, because that's what they want, just smart enough to operate the machines, but not smart enough to rebel and figure out that they are slaves? I mean, that's their goal. Is that what these snowflakes and these other pansies and, well, I got a better word for them, but I won't say it on the air. But in a circle of men, you know what I'm talking about. They're not male. They're not testosterone-filled warriors. They're snowflakes. They're feminized. They're disgusting. And anybody that buys into this New World Order agenda is disgusting as well.
Well, that's a lot to do with the brainwashing that they're getting, especially the younger generations. But, you know, with the feminizing of males, they're putting chemicals in the food supply, and those chemicals are called
xenoestrogens.
And which causes a build-up of estrogen in men, and so men are getting, you know, more feminized. So this whole business about the gay movement and the gender change movement, they think they have a right because it's natural, but what they're not focusing in on is that they have been had, you know, these xenoestrogens inflicted into their bodies that are causing them to go this way. And it is not natural. It's totally unnatural. And it will have serious, these xenoestrogens will have serious health consequences as a result of taking, you know, causing an imbalance of the hormonal system. And so, but, you know, the brainwashing is to everybody, you know, oh, it's all about love and it's all natural. So we should accept it. And no, we shouldn't be accepting it. Not, I mean, even if you cut out, you know, the scriptural point of view, we shouldn't be accepting it simply because it's inhumane to enforce this chemical into people that are causing them to go this way. And, I mean, I've seen people that have had their hormonal balanced up that are no longer interested in the same sex. And I've seen that a lot. So, you know, the lies go to extraordinary extent, and a lot of these things, this should be made more publicly aware to people, because as long as they keep eating all the junk that they're buying in the supermarkets, and it's quite interesting that you mentioned earlier on that after the shops had been completely emptied out from the hurricane, that the only foods that were left on the shelves were the health foods. So while people are ignoring eating good food and eating this junk food, they're taking in all of these chemicals, not just only the xenoestrogens, but a whole lot of other things that are causing a lot of mental problems and Alzheimer's and causing people to not be able to think properly. And it's all about weakening the races from that aspect. I mean, it's one of many aspects of which they're dumbing us down and creating a race of people that are totally subservient to them. So people need to understand about the homosexual side of things is a little bit more in depth as to what there is being done to them. And rather than saying it, you know, standing up on soapboxes and saying it's natural and it's all about love and we should be able to be equal, well, no. Because they're not realizing that they've had, most of them have had this put on them. Some of them, you know, maybe, you know, have, you know, sort of conditioning type of situations, like they were brought up in a home where they were, you know, sexually abused or whatever. But for most of them, what's going on today, and especially with this new thing they've added into the gender change, is all to do with the chemical imbalance. And really that needs to be, you know, spread wide, because if people don't know about it, you know, they can't do anything about it. I suppose it remains to be seen whether they're willing to make a change anyway. But anyway, that's my bit for on that subject.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. The xenoestrogens also, according to the instructors at my classes, not only do they effeminize men, but they also masculinize the women. So at yeah. the same time that the men are becoming more feminine, the women are trying to be men. And certainly I've noticed that when I'm out and about. The women today say and do things that were just completely unheard of when I was a boy. Unheard of. So these chemicals and stuff that they're doing, there's proof of that all over the place if you have a brain and eyes to see. But yeah, you're right. When we went into the grocery store and noticed that, the health food section where the organics are and the non-GMOs are, they were still practically full. So even in a catastrophe, our people won't spend a few extra dollars to get the better food. They acted as if there was no food in the supermarket, and yet the health food section had plenty of food sitting in it. It reminds me of a blizzard I went through many years ago in the state of Michigan. Within 3 days, the stores were bare of most of the food, but there was flour and there was butter. So the people complained that there was no bread to eat, but all the ingredients to make homemade bread were on the shelves, but they wouldn't make their own bread. So, you know, it's indicative of the state of our people today. It's actually quite pathetic. You know, like I said, bread is not hard to make. It's really quite simple. And the ingredients for it were sitting there, but the average person either didn't have the knowledge or the willpower. They wanted it to be handed to them already baked and made and sliced and put in a pretty package and all that. That just shows you where we're at. Did you have any comments, Mike?
Well, I just wanted to ask you, did you see a lot of devastation as you were returning back home? I followed the storm on TV, French TV, but mainly it was, they focused on St. Martin and some of the other islands that they control or have home or whatever. But they did do a report as it moved up into Miami, but it didn't go into depth. And I was curious about how much devastation did you see on the way back home. Now, I imagine that these tall concrete buildings that I saw, you know, they could withstand a lot, except for the glass maybe. But did you see a lot of smaller homes, businesses, things like that going up?
Yeah, you're breaking up, Mike.
Okay, did you see a lot of devastation as you returned?
No. As a matter of fact, I was kind of shocked. Even manufactured homes like I live in, many of them are fine. Now, it's very spotty, though. One here and there will have many shingles missing or holes in the roof. Could have been an object hit them, or it could have been faulty design. It's hard to say, but widespread structural damage, no. Mostly it's stuff that you would expect in a tropical storm, which is road signs are blown over, some of the telephone poles could not withstand it. Some of the newer, there's one stretch of highway with brand new high-intensity LED lights, and about 20% of them were either twisted completely around or bent over and broken off. So there were gusts within this typhoon, obviously pretty high enough to do things like that, but mostly the buildings themselves, including the glass, seems like they came through fine. There's a lot of patios that got hurt, or lanais, gazebos, those kind of things without real secure attachment points. They got blown around, but nothing that you would expect. Like down here, Andrew came through and literally leveled Homestead, Florida, leveled it. A few concrete buildings stood, but everything made out of wood was leveled, including the trees. There were almost no trees standing. And Andrew wasn't a five, if I remember right. It was like a three or a four. I can't remember, but literally leveled this area, and nothing even remotely close to that happened down here. It's mostly debris and stuff on the roads and a few places where high water caused some issues and all that, but nothing you would expect from what they were touting as a biblical proportioned gigantic category 5 plus. Nothing even remotely representative of that. And again, the fact that shortly after making landfall up around Naples, it dissipated. Even the broadcaster couldn't help himself by his astonishment that this thing was dissipating that quickly, becoming disorganized as a true hurricane. Basically, it became a severe thunderstorm. So some very weird things. Again, I'm not going to go there with a lot of, quote, conspiracy theories because I don't have evidence. If I had evidence, I would certainly present it. But some empirical evidence that it was bizarre, and there is definitely evidence that it was hyped far worse than it really was. And we've seen that twice now. Last year, when Matthew came through this area, they wanted people in this area to evacuate, and yet we did not get one iota of Matthew. It didn't even ruffle the leaves of the trees here. I mean, it was literally a non-event, and yet the day before and even earlier that morning, they were telling people to evacuate this area. So they're conditioning us, and what their goal is, I'm not exactly sure, but you can see they're conditioning us to accept government dictates, the FEMA and these other organizations, to accept that when they tell you to evacuate, you do it, even though there's no real evidence. As long as they put something up on the Weather Channel, that should be good enough, and we're supposed to just pick up and leave. And we can't come back until they say it's okay. That, I see, is what they're establishing more with this storm than anything else. And as far as the power outages, there's far too many power outages for this thing. It was not that severe. However, what people don't understand is you can manufacture shortages of power. There's distribution lines and distribution centers everywhere. All you have to do is shut off a distribution center and nobody has power. It doesn't have to be down lines or any of that sort of thing. The power company can do it exactly the same way that the oil companies did it back in 1974. I was in the Air Force during that time. And Pastor Lindsey Williams wrote his two books about the non-energy crisis, and how to seduce a nation over that event. It was an orchestrated shortage by the oil companies and the government to condition the people and to get the price of gas where they wanted it so the oil companies could make gigantic profits. There was no shortage of oil. It was man-made. That's a fact. And the same thing can be done with electrical power. You can shut it off and turn it on at will. It doesn't have to have, it does not need to have a natural disaster to shut off power and to delay turning it back on to create the situation where the people panic or put in dire conditions unnecessarily because it's all orchestrated by the people that control the grid. And guess who they're in bed with? So that would be the only thing I would tell people about it.
Well, did you have to deal with that odd, even license plate number thing?
Back in the fake oil shortage, yes.
Okay, I dealt with it too. I went to the junkyard and found me an old license plate off of a car that was, you know, different than the one I had. And I just switched them and got gas whenever I wanted.
Yeah. Well, being in
it. And another thing, I spent many a summer in Naples, so I have relatives in St. Marco Island, Naples, and Fort Walton Beach, and Navarre. How do you think they fared in the storm? I hadn't heard from them.
Most everybody fared pretty well. There were spots, again, there's spots that it seemed like the wind gusts were higher than everybody else's because it just didn't make sense. This was not universal by any stretch of the imagination. I know two people, personal friends of mine, who lost their homes in the Florida Keys in the Marathon Key. Their house literally was picked up and moved off the foundation and washed away. So, but then again, Marathon Key and virtually all of the Florida Keys are right at sea level. There are no hills. There are no elevations more than maybe a few places 20 feet above sea level. Most are at 5 feet or less.
Deanne, did you cross that bridge from the mainland to the Keys? one time?
Yes. That's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, driving on a bridge in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, you're talking about the 7 mile bridge?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's these massive power lines that run right across the bridge from one end of the ocean to the other. You know, it's just like crazy person's land.
Yeah, it's particularly awesome on a motorcycle going across that bridge. But I want people to understand, like, a severe storm is going to cause damage in the Keys. It doesn't have to be a hurricane, because they have literally no protection. And when a storm like this hits, the low-lying areas will get surges. And if it's not anchored properly, or if it's not on stilts, which the modern code requires all new homes to be put on stilts. Well, the homes that got washed away are not on stilts. They're older homes. And again, they're not up to the current code. So that sort of thing was expected to happen. And the same thing up here on the mainland. It went over Naples. I've got friends over in Arcadia, Florida, which is in the middle of the state, but it's a low-lying agricultural area. It received a lot of flooding. Why? Because this carried a lot of rain, and they can create lots of rain. So the area was flooded. It wasn't hurricane damage. It was flood damage. Many roads were closed. The people had to forced evacuation. Here we go. Forced evacuation again. So that kind of things were going on, but it was spotty. It was only here and there. Most of the state did not receive a whole lot of super, super high winds and problems. My family up in Tampa, basically just some high winds. I've got other friends and family up there. They said it was no different than a severe thunderstorm. So, you know, that, again, it's spotty. The West Coast got hit. The East Coast had some surge problems. But here again, there are low-lying areas where people probably should not build a business or a home. Because if you have a bad weather system come in, you're going to have problems. It's no different than in Iowa. When I worked out there, the Mississippi River every so many years floods. And you can literally see the landmarks, because it's done it so often, there's an actual depression showing you where the flood basin is. And so every so many years, of course, the river floods, which is a natural thing. But there's people building homes in the flood basin. And when I worked there, I asked some of the local people, I said, who in his right mind would build a home where he knows it's going to flood? I said, I can't wrap my head around that. Why would you intentionally build a home knowing that in the next 15 to 20 years, a flood is going to come and wash it away? Well, the answer to that is obviously they get flood insurance. So the rest of us that pay insurance can build them a new home. That's why I'm against insurance. I think we should go back to Yahweh's way, and we each pay for our own. No matter if you're talking about your car, your health, or your home. That would stop people being stupid. I give the case. Go ahead.
No, I just said, do you think that would stop people being stupid?
Well,
I got a feeling there's people out there that are just stupid.
Well, no, but it stops us paying for them being stupid. Okay, if people want to commit suicide, or they want to get washed down the Mississippi River in their home, that's their business. If that's what they want to do, I have no problem with that. Asking me to pay to build their house again or to fix them in the hospital, that's what I have a problem with.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was just being facetious. But, you know, look at all those people that live in California. I mean, why would you live there? Why would you build a home there when you know that at some stage it's going to be at the bottom of the ocean?
I think they're hedging on the fact it won't happen in their lifetime. I think most people know that California is a shelf. Anybody that's studied any geology, you should know that California literally is a shelf. There's nothing under it. So a massive earthquake literally could snap that whole area off and as Dee has said, put it right into the bottom of the ocean.
Well, they reckon it's it's overdue for it.
Well, here again, we know a lot of earth changes are going to come at the end of the age. Yahweh told us and through the prophets. That's why those of us interested in building ark communities are beseeching Father as to give us direction where. Because the earth as we see it today is not what it's going to look like here in the near future. So something that looks perfectly safe today may not be safe tomorrow. Case in point, you know, we on the East Coast and at the southern tip of Florida thought that the hurricane was going to go up the east side, so we went to the left, to the West Coast, only to take ourselves out of harm's way and put ourselves in harm's way because of bad information. So the same thing with the earth changes and the things that are going on. We need to seek Father's direction on where to put together our communities where they'll be safe, because there's no way in human terms to figure that out.
Well, what do you think is in Florida is a place where the elevation is the highest?
The highest elevation in Florida is in the Panhandle, up just beneath Mississippi and Georgia, Alabama. That area up there is anywhere from 3 to 500 feet in areas. So that is your best area in Florida as far as elevation. The center part of the state probably runs anywhere from 30 to 60 feet above sea level, and it's pretty wide. So, but here again, if there's any kind of natural upheavance of land structure and land formations, Florida could be raised up 200-400 feet. And areas that in the middle of the country could be go down 500-600 feet. I mean, because we don't know. We don't know what all's going to happen to the surface of the earth. All we know is a lot of people are going to die. A lot of the fish are going to die, because we don't heed his warning. So in my opinion, Yahweh will tell us whether it's through the spirit or by signs.
He already has. He said, run to the mountains. And according to the naval flood maps, the new layout of the coastlines in the world, Florida won't exist anymore. You need to get at least a mile high up. So I wouldn't be living in Florida if you gave me a mansion.
Well, here's the problem. I understand it. I've looked at these maps. I've looked at the different prophecies and seers that have put maps together over the years. They all differ in some way or another, but I wouldn't trust anything coming from the U.S. government. That's my opinion. I'm not going to move anywhere based on any information coming from that organization. I'll trust Father.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but they're not the only ones that have put very similar maps out. And they've been advising the Navy to move their homes up into the higher states where it's, you know, it's up a couple of thousand meters high. And all the alphabet organizations have all just moved up there too, because it's, you know, getting out of harm's way. So, you know, and the fact that they are, it's not just the Navy that have put these maps together, it's, and they've been released maps. They haven't been put out for public viewing. You know, they've been sort of snuck out, if you like. But there are other people like Edgar Cayce, for example. He was pretty accurate in some of the maps that he said going to that the planet would result in. So, and it's sort of, I think it's pretty important to, you know, if we were told to go to the mountains, then I think that should be a reasonable sort of advice. But, you know, I wouldn't be, and all recommendations are just, you know, to be at least 100 miles in from the coast and about a mile high and nowhere near nuclear power plants and 100 miles away from any big lakes or like dams like the Hoover Dam, that sort of thing. because when the planet does a spill, all of those things are going to just be sloshed out of their current positions. And the planet is already moving because every now and then they have to alter the GPS coordinates for airports, because the way the planet's moving, it's, you know, they're not lining up anymore. So, and they reckon it's moving at about 40 miles. It was. It's probably a bit faster than that now, but 40 miles a year it was tilting. And that's one of the reasons they believe that those of us that are down on the south of the equator, as the planet's tilting the other way, we're coming up closer to where the original equator was, so we're getting warmer, and you guys are going closer to the North Pole, which is why you're getting colder weather, because of the way the planet has already been pulled over. So they're all things that really need to be taken into consideration. But I'll get you some of this information. You can look at it for yourself, and maybe you'll see the need for that.
Okay, thank you. Michael, did you have anything?
No, I just felt a little guilty because you were in a hurricane and I was enjoying myself in Switzerland.
Well, to be honest with you, if I had a choice between being in a hurricane or being around that diabolical machine, I think I would have chosen a hurricane.
Exactly.
I don't want anything to do with the beast. I'm finding the older I get, the less tolerance I have for the nonsense and the stupidity. For instance, I was at my brother's home, and after a while I asked him, please shut the damn television off. It's the same thing over and over and over. It's mind-numbing. The propaganda, the fear porn, And the good news is eventually they do turn it off, and then we can have a nice conversation. And people immediately, the fear, it's just immediate. As soon as you hit the off button, the fear factor starts to diminish. The brains start to function again. It's almost like a tractor beam when that damn thing's on. It draws your attention to it. It almost is like the siren call of the mythological creatures, the sailors always worried about, the sirens, I think they were called. You can't, if that damn thing's on, you cannot focus on what you're doing. I don't care who you are. I've noticed it. I used to talk to my children even years ago before I knew this message. And I would turn it off because I found myself trying to watch the show instead of listening to what my children had to say. And I found it so much more enjoyable as soon as I turned that thing off, then I could focus and have an enjoyable conversation with my family. So it's just, you know, it's no wonder our people have lost the ability to think rationally these days. That thing is literally the image of the beast. And I've told people this for years. The word of doesn't mean it's an image of it in the sense the image looks like it. It's the image owned by. It's the image controlled by. That's what the of. Of can be a participle. It can be possessive. And that's what of is. That's where the English language is so deceptive at times. Other languages, and even the ancient languages, were much more precise when showing possessive or declarative senses in a statement. English lacks that. We've dropped that. And the image of the beast in our Bibles, it's talking about an image in front of our faces controlled by the beast. And that's exactly what every flat screen is. I'm convinced of it. Whether it's a tablet, a smartphone, a TV set, or a movie screen, doesn't matter. The beast controls what's coming across that thing, and our people need to be aware of it.
Yes, as well as there's a frequency sort of, we can't audibly hear it, but there is a frequency that gets put through the television sets which numbs our brain down, turns, sort of zombieizes us, and makes us numb out and almost hypnotized. And that, you notice it when you turn the frequency off, turn the TV off, the frequency goes away and your whole mindset changes. Just as you were saying, when you, you know, you could have a rational conversation with your family, but you can do that because this frequency has stopped doing its business on your brain.
You know that the Antichrists gave us a hint of this in the movie They Live. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah. Yes.
How about you, Michael? Have you seen it?
Just bits and pieces.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's a B movie, but the symbolism in that movie made by John Carpenter is astounding. The sunglasses that the leading characters wear are the identity message. The aliens are the Jews and the children of Satan. The ability for Satan's kids to operate amongst us is a television antenna that's putting out a signal that allows them to look and be accepted as one of us. And I don't want to give the whole movie away in case you do watch it, but that signal being broadcasted, and it's ironic that in the movie, it's a television antenna. It's on top of a television studio. I said, wow, how perfect of a symbol that is. This beam is like a seducing spirit to the people, to where they don't recognize these ugly aliens that are walking amongst them. But when the beam is shut off, you don't need the sunglasses anymore. You see them outright. You see their ugliness. You see their intentions. And the Jews are being exposed today like never before. It's almost like in the movie, the TV network beam has been diminished and in some cases shut off. And these ugly lizards that walk amongst us are being shown for what they are. They hate our race. They hate our Christ. They hate our faith. And that is being exposed exactly the way it is in the movie. And I'd highly recommend anybody watch it. It's only about a 90-minute movie. And again, it's a B-rated movie. You're not going to see Academy performances in it. But the symbolism in the movie is phenomenal.
And our only protection is to stay close to Yahweh and to follow his laws.
Yeah, amen. Amen. This message is like Roddy Piper in the movie when he puts the sunglasses on that the guys invented to see through the bullshit. Excuse my French, but that's what it is. The propaganda and the fake news. When you know the truth of the scriptures and you know the Father and you walk in his laws and you pray and you have the Holy Spirit guiding you, it's exactly as in the movie with the glasses. You see through the garbage. You see clearly the propaganda. You see who your enemies are, like Charles Schumer and Bernie Sanders when he unloaded on that poor guy running for a spot in a high-level government position at the confirmation hearing. Bernie Sanders came out of the closet as a Christ hater, as a white hater. Thank you, Bernie, for finally being honest. You are the typical Jew. And he was honest on camera in an open session of Congress. That almost sounds like it's tantamount to a confession of treason, doesn't it? So they're all coming out of the closet because it's that time. They know their time is short. The hatred they have for us, they cannot hide it or contain it anymore. And again, thank you, Bernie Sanders, for showing us what a contemptible lizard you are. I know you guys had some stuff you wanted to cover, so is there anything left on your agenda?
Do you have anything, Dee?
No, I was waiting for you. We're going to talk about CERN, I thought.
Okay, I'll talk about CERN, and maybe you can help me, because you're good with the words and its explanations. But anyway, I had an opportunity to visit CERN. I didn't know anything about it at first, but I met these people from Norway, the father, the mother, and the son. The son works at CERN, and we got to talking because we were camping at one place that was just a few feet away from the border of Switzerland, and he invited me on a private tour, a tour of only four people with a Japanese tour guide. So I had to wait a day or two before we could go. And so while I was waiting, I watched a couple downloaded films that I had already downloaded about CERN so I could be more familiar with it. And I wanted to ask a lot of questions. And I did, and I took a lot of pictures. It was amazing. So I thought that it was a great opportunity to go into the belly of the beast and to learn and to talk to many people and to see what was going on there and everything. But I came away thinking that as far as nuclear power plants are concerned, they don't have any real way to take care of any situations that might arise in case you have a disaster. Well, I felt the same way with CERN. If they unleash all these evil spirits, they're not going to be able to control it. But I believe that these people are brainwashed to the point where they think basically they're there for the money, and they're also there because they think they're going to save the world. And a lot of these new age people that work there, I talk to a lot of them and trying to, you know, get the scoop on the whole thing. But I was amazed at what I saw, all the different types of machinery. We saw some films of how it got started, and thought it was very interesting. I talked to this one guy from Spain. He told me, and I asked him, I said, why did they build it underground? He said, it's like 300 feet underground. I think it's the collider, and it's like 17 miles long in a circle. He said, can you imagine if they had to purchase all the land in that area just to build it above ground? It was cheaper to do it underground. So that made a lot of sense. So anyway, I saw a lot, took a lot of pictures, came away. I came away feeling fortunate that I trust in Yahweh and that following his laws means everything. And because Psalms 119:118 says, Yahweh has rejected all those who reject his law. And these are people that work there that have no idea what they've gotten themselves into. They're just money. A lot of them, they're scientists. I think they're scientists. Like one particular person said that he made a comment, I'll quote, he said, all physicists would bow to a mathematician, but a mathematician would bow to God. And he said, I'm an engineer. An engineer bows to nobody. So this is the kind of thing that I discovered. They have no idea what's about to take place. And I don't think they have any idea about what could be unleashed in these black holes. They call antimatter. And I learned a lot about antimatter, matter. I went into the big building that contains antimatter, and the production of nuclear radiation, of what you call projectile radiation.
You're breaking up a little bit, Michael.
Okay.
Now, what does CERN stand for?
Goodness, I just knew it the other day. Something European Research Nuclear. I remember in French. Something to do, yeah. European research nuclear. And it was started back in the early 50s.
What's your opinion of what this is going to be used for? I know we have what they give to the public, but what was your opinion of what is the purpose of this thing? I mean, it's like HARP. They told us for years that we weren't allowed to know, and now we know that all these HARP stations were for weather modification, and the Air Force has recently admitted that as they're shutting them down. And they're shutting them down because they have something bigger and better to control weather with than the HARP system. So all these years, the quote conspiracy theorists were right. These HARP stations all over the earth are for weather modification. And they admitted it. And we also know that they have something newer, bigger and better in their eyes. And they're not telling us what that is. And is there any possibility this CERN has something to do with that? I mean, what the hell is this big-ass machine for? I mean, it's billions of dollars that have been spent on the thing. They've got all kinds of occult stuff associated with it. What's it supposed to do?
Okay, it's supposed to be like 14 different models across the world. There's one in the United States. China is building one. But this one here in Switzerland is the biggest and the most important one. And basically, they're trying to find the God particle. In other words, they're trying to find the glue that bonds everything together. But you see, when you talk to people, they're saying that they're there to save the world and that they are there to do all these experiments create more and more ways of healing people in the medical industry and things of that nature. But I kept asking them questions about, well, what are you going to do if you keep using all these gases like argon, helium, hydrogen? I saw all this there. And what they would do is shoot protons and neutrons into it and break it all up. I saw all the computer workings where they showed it all. And I said, what are you going to do if it does release something that you cannot control? But they really never talked about that because I don't really think they understand it. But I'll let Dee explain it because she can explain it to where the fact is that a lot of these people don't really understand what they've gotten into. And that they're going to be thrown under the bus later. But I'll let Dee explain it. She can explain it very well.
Well, I've never been there. It's only what I've learned about it. But as I understand it, it is opening up a portal for what we call demons, which it's also being said that they are... beings from somewhere else to allow them to access our planet. Now, that would sort of go along with Stephen Hawkins, who is publicly known to be an atheist, has kind of changed his mind about atheism now, and he had made statements about he is really frightened of what they're doing at CERN because there are things that they intend bringing through, which just scare the hell out of him. And he's now starting to understand that there is a God. So whatever it is they're bringing through this portal, if it scared someone like Hawkins, then it must be pretty nasty stuff. And that would go along with, as you mentioned before, Dan, about, you know, it is so steeped in satanic ritual behavior. I don't know if you saw the opening of CERN, where they had kings and princes and all the Rothschilds and the people involved in the New World Order all were, you know, privately invited there. And it was nothing else but a play, if you like, on satanic, of things coming through this portal, satanic things like demons and ritualistic type of slaughters and things like that. The whole thing was just really quite bone-chilling to watch. They would spend so much money on putting this huge display of demonic behavior for the opening of CERN. Did you ever see that?
No, but I saw something similar with the opening of the the largest railroad tunnel that opened up in Switzerland recently. They had a similar type ceremony, and I did watch that one and got many of my family and friends to watch it as well. And it was demonic and satanic from the start to the finish and had absolutely nothing to do with engineering feats or a railroad or a tunnel. It had everything to do to glorify Lucifer and satanic ritual.
Yeah, so they're pretty good at putting those sorts of things on. And that also goes along with the Catholic Church has built this massive telescope in Arizona, and they actually named it Lucifer. And it's being built on some of the American Indians' most sacred land sites there. It's supposed to be one of the most sacred places in the world. And, of course, the Catholic Church just went in and bulldozed into it and just put it up. And a number of the Indian tribes tried to fight against this so that they wouldn't ruin this site, because apparently on this site comes a it has been a portal for these demonic beings, very much described as they are in Switzerland in CERN. Now that telescope that they have built is an infrared telescope, and it was built specifically for following this planet that I was talking about before. And they had one of their higher-up people, I just can't think of his, Malachi Martin, I think his name was, traveling around the world basically doing talks amongst Catholic groups about, you know, these aliens that will be coming in, and that we should listen to everything that they have to tell us because they're more knowledgeable about God and we should follow whatever they say about God. Now that all lines up with you know, the Project Blue Beam, which is, you know, all done through holograms of landing aliens and what have you, and it's all tied in with the church, you know, making the Catholic Church the world church, and as the UN has, you know, put amongst their plans for the New World Order, is that there will be one church and all churches will amalgamate. So you'll have Muslims and Christians and Buddhists and you name it, all joined in the one religion. And you probably already know that they have already written the Bible for that, and it's a mess. So all of these things are all kind of involved and mixed in together, and the evidence is there of each, you know, in several places of what's going on. So something massive is going to happen. And I think that's why Yahweh is saying, enough is enough. I've got to clean this place up and just get rid of all this garbage. And that's why when you asked earlier, do we think we're in the end times? I certainly do. But there's some nasty times ahead in many different directions, and it's really a matter of which one hits first, I guess.
Yep. Well, as long as we got the right leader and commander and we follow in Yahweh's ways, I don't think his children have a whole lot to be concerned about. Psalm 91 should be prayed every single day, or at least meditated on the words of that psalm, because that's a soldier's psalm. It's also the psalm that lets us know who's in command, and that we will see many, many fall at our sides, just as we did in the tornado and the hurricane. We saw many homes that were hurt, and yet the homes of the righteous that I'm aware of anyway were saved. It does say that we will go through things and we may be singed by the fires. For instance, my home here, I do have some siding I need to fix. I got a couple small leaks I got to fix. But considering a supposedly hurricane came through, those are minor compared to the damages of many other places. So, you know, those are the things we got to hang on to, that, you know, we're in his camp. That's what matters. Now, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the Catholic Church and this diabolical, demon-possessed pope that they have. I was told by a person within the last 48 hours that there is a coup going on within the Catholic Church. Apparently, there are conservatives within the Catholic Church that think it's going the wrong way. And there's even talk that this pope needs to be thrown out of office and a new pope elected. Have you heard anything about that at all?
Very, very little, but it certainly makes sense because the Jews have been controlling the, you know, in the background, they've been controlling the Catholic Church for centuries. So, and they are basically the Jesuits. So, and whilst they're trying to push their agenda, there are those that are trying to prevent it from happening. But I think they're up against it. But because I think the way they look at this now is that they're so close to bringing in the New World Order and achieving everything. And the major stumbling block against them is the United States. Once they have achieved what they can out of the United States, the rest of the world's already paused to fall into place because our ridiculous leaders have already, you know, tied us up in knots with all the legislation that goes along with the New World Order. They're just not playing out on it at the moment because they don't want to alarm, you know, those countries that haven't yet signed some of them. But they're really doing heavy work on the U.S. because, you know, most of the U.S. is not, you know, is no longer Christian. It's being, you know, it's so much into debauchery of all kinds. Every single commandment that Yahweh ever gave us or statute has been basically mutilated, and more so in the U.S. than anywhere else. You know, it's like, I think they're so close to achieving it. I wouldn't be surprised that you probably find some murders going on amongst those people in the Vatican because they just don't want people standing in their way. I mean, they've murdered thousands of people for being whistleblowers or that are likely to stand in their way, few priests or whatever. There's nothing to them to achieve their end. So, you know, I completely believe that is probably so because just of the nature of the way the beast operates.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, do you have anything?
Well, as far as CERN is concerned, they have on the drawing board right now, they're in the process of building. They're going to start digging soon. They're going to make another collider that's 10 times as large, and everybody there is excited about it. So basically, you know, from a person like myself who's not all that educated and all that type of thing, I came away thinking, how can I basically understand what's going on here? It's just a big science project, a laboratory with protons and neutrons, and they're colliding all these together, trying to find the God particle. Basically, I thought about, we know that Satan and one-third of the angels were cast to the earth, and they were confined to the earth. Now, we know that Jews are his foot soldiers in shoe leather. But then you have Satan, and you have the angels, who are the spiritual demons. The best way I can explain it is that basically this CERN is going to release these demons, and then there will be no control, and that's part of the New World Order.
So it would follow the storyline of the movie Ghostbusters, as Brother Hebert just put on the chat window here. He mentioned Ghostbusters, and if you watch the movie Ghostbusters, and the big machine they use to hold the evil spirits, it's almost mimicking exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Does that make sense, D? Does that make any sense to you, that they're going to be releasing, with all this anti-matter, they're going to be able to release all the demons?
Yeah. That's what I believe. That's what CERN is all about. And because the Jews control Hollywood, they always give you a bit of an insight of what's coming in the movies. I'm not really quite au fait yet with why they do that, but I believe it's some sort of a deal they've made with Satan, that they can do these things, but they have to warn people first. So they do that in a way where they can actually legitimately say, well, we warned them in this movie, but we don't see it that way. We just see it, oh, it's just, a funny story, or it's just another movie type thing. We don't see it as a warning, unless you understand that that's what they are all about.
You're exactly right, because Pastor Dan had a show several years ago, and he mentioned the same thing about how they are under obligation to say what they're going to do before they do it. Is that right, Pastor Dan?
Yeah, in their twisted minds, it alleviates them of guilt, because just like in the story of Job and other books of the Bible, you hear of these conversations between Lucifer and our Father, and sometimes other beings. And there's kind of negotiations going on. He was told, Lucifer and his angels were told, that they could deceive us. They could not harm us. They cannot directly harm us, but they have a right to deceive us. And part of their negotiation with Father was, well, okay, we can't directly harm them, but if we tell them what we're going to do, even though it's cloaked, isn't that the same thing as giving them warning? Is it our fault because they have no discernment? Is it our fault because they don't think things through? Just like the word pharmacy. They know that the pharmaceuticals are poisons. And they put the word right above the door in big red block letters. Pharmakia. Only they say it in the English. Pharmacy. And if people looked at it, they would look into the Greek word, and pharmakia means drugs used in sorcery and black magic. So in their twisted minds, they're exonerated because they told you. It's not their fault that you don't study. You know, preachers in the 1600s in the colonies had to go to William and Mary College. To be a freshman at William and Mary College, which was a seminary, you had to be able to read, write, speak, and debate in ancient Greek. And I always wondered about that when I read the story. Why would our forefathers in the 1600s want our preachers to be able to do all that in ancient Greek? Well, now I know. But back then, I wondered, why would that? Well, that's why. Because when you study the scriptures in the Greek language, these sorts of things jump off the pages at you. In fact, Nikolai Tesla is the son of a Orthodox priest in the Christian faith. He himself, being Greek, or understood Greek, his father taught in Greek, he could read and write Greek, and he claimed that he got many of his ideas for his inventions because he could understand the Greek language so well, and he got it from the scriptures. He claimed that the scriptures hold tremendous information if you understand the language. And our people are abysmally ignorant of the true meanings behind the Greek words used in the text. And this is just more proof of that. Ignorance is harming us. Whereas if we would go back to what they used to do, even in the 1600s, a few hundred years ago, we would be saved or spared a lot of the heartache and hardship that we've got. And we're almost out of time. I only got about 30 seconds for each of you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Dee.
No, I was going to say, you go first.
Okay, well, basically, follow Yahweh's laws. That's and stay close to Yahweh and pray. That's all I can say.
Amen to that. Dee?
Yes, well, I'd agree with that because I've always followed when Christ was asked, what do I have to do to get into the kingdom? And he said, keep my commandments and stand fast to the end. And that's, if we remember that, no matter what we're faced with, it should be a pretty good reason that to follow that plan. And, you know, you see that every single, as I mentioned before, every single statute and commandment has been mutilated by the beast power. Not one of them has not been under attack. And so that's the reason the world's in the state it's in, because it's lost that valuable gift that Yahweh gave to us of the commandments and the statutes. And because it's lost, the adversary is winning for the moment.
Amen to that.
Thank you very much for hearing us. I appreciate that. And Yahweh bless you and all your listeners.
Amen.
Thank you for the opportunity. And Yahweh bless.
All right, guys. Yahweh bless, and Yahweh bless each and every one of the listeners. And we always pray for Father's direction in these chaotic times and also for his protection against those who would do us harm. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
So be it.